iHeart Podcasts.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
So I know I asked you if we could cover today's topic, but I didn't tell you exactly why, and that's because I wanted to save this story for you. So this actually happened in a town, Sylacauga, Alabama, my home state of Alabama. Mm-hmm. And so this happened in 1954. A woman named Ann Hodges was taking a nap on her couch when a softball-sized chunk of meteorite crashed through her roof, came through the ceiling, bounced off a radio, and smacked her right in the thigh. How sad is that? But funny at the same. Why is it so much funnier that hit her in the thigh? It is, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't handle it. Anyway, there are photos online of this giant bruise if you want to check this out. But so there was an astronomer from Florida State. His name is Michael Reynolds. And he was talking about how rare this occasion would be. He says you have a better chance of getting hit by a tornado, a bolt of lightning, and a hurricane all at the same time than getting hit by a meteorite.
That's amazing.
And apparently there was a ton of controversy after the fact about who got to keep this rock.
Oh, yeah.
So the public demanded that the government give the rock back to Anne, and they finally complied. But then they were sued by the landlady who claimed it was her since it fell on her property. What kind of person does this? This woman's been hit by a meteorite.
In the thigh.
In the thigh, right. And so Anne's argument was, though, that God intended for it to hit me. After all, it hit me. That's what she said. And so they settled out of court, and the meteorite was eventually donated to the Alabama Museum of Natural History, and it's still on display there. So I'll admit I had heard this story before, but what I didn't know is that there's actually a monument to it. It commemorates the whole bizarre happening, and it's in front of the town hall in Sylacauga. And so that's why we decided to do today's episode on 9 weird statues and monuments around the world. Let's get started. Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hatikader. And the man on the other side of the soundproof glass who's been standing perfectly still for, what, like the last 45 minutes or so?
45 minutes, yeah.
I think I saw him blink once, but that's about it. That's our friend and producer, Tristan McNeil. And also joining us by phone today is our researcher, Gabe Lousier. Gabe, how's it going?
Going well. Thanks for having me back, guys.
All right. Gabe's been trying to claim that the weather in L.A. today is crisp.
Crisp,
apparently. I'm not buying it. No. Yeah, I don't think they've ever experienced crisp. But all right, Gabe. So you've done your research on some monuments and statues around the world. Do you want to take the first one?
Yeah, sure. I have another statue from Alabama to go along with yours. You guys have a knack for bizarre statues out there, I guess. And this is actually, it's a boll weevil monument in Enterprise, Alabama. And so this is a marble statue of a Greek woman holding a bowl above her head. And in the bowl, there's this 50-pound bronze boll weevil. And the boll weevil was actually added about 30 years ago after the statue was originally dedicated. And it was erected because boll weevils have this history of, you know, destroying cotton crops in the South, which back in the day, it forced local farmers to kind of branch out and try a new crop instead, and that was peanuts. So Coffee County in Alabama became the largest producer of peanuts in the U.S., and it also ended up planting and prospering from potatoes, sugarcane, sorghum, and tobacco, and that's thanks in part to the boll weevil kind of, you know, disrupting the cotton trade. So the dedication on the monument actually reads, "In profound appreciation of the boll weevil." And as far as anyone knows, it's the first and probably only monument to honor an agricultural pest.
And this is one I have actually seen. I can verify this one. So if you ever happen to be passing through Enterprise, Alabama, make sure to check out the boll weevil statue. All right. So 2 facts about weird statues or monuments from Alabama. Mango, do you have one from Alabama?
No, Russia.
Oh, okay. Close. All right. What you got?
So obviously there are a lot of monuments out there that celebrate, you know, great men, tyrants, ball players, whatever. But I don't know if that many monuments that are there to bring warmth and comfort. But that's exactly what local artists intended when they created this monument to the radiator in Samara, Russia. Apparently it's in Russia because Russians claimed the, quote, hot box, as the radiator was originally called, was invented in St. Petersburg. by this guy in 1855 before he took it to Germany and then the U.S. But the best part of the whole thing is that the sculpture isn't just some radiator on a pedestal. It also has a cat sprawled out on a giant windowsill over it.
What? Nice.
Russians also invented cats.
Oh, they did. Yeah. I didn't know that fact. That's really good. That's also not true. All right. Well, I've got one coming from Paris. So this is a huge 3D molding of the sculptor Cesare Baldacchini's thumb. And this was put up in 1965. It's over 40 feet tall and weighs 18 tons. And it's so out of place because it's actually right in kind of the business district there in Paris. And then you just turn the corner and there's this giant thumb. Well, it turns out it's not the only one of Baldacchini's thumbs out there in the world. Turns out you can find one at Olympic Park in Seoul. There's another one in Germany and a couple others, you know, of different sizes and colors all around the world. Baldacchini's thumbs.
Just waiting to get hitchhiked.
Like, that's right. Exactly. All right, Gabe, what you got next?
All right, so for this one, we got to head over to Riverside, Iowa, which is a real town that has a monument commemorating the future birth of the fictional character Captain James T. Kirk from Star Trek. So, I mean, according to the official Star Trek website, Kirk will be born in Riverside, Iowa on March 22nd in the year 2233. But that's kind of invented by the town itself, because the creator of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry, he only ever specified that Kirk was born in a small town in Iowa. Riverside took advantage of that vague reference to, you know, claim him as their own. And so if you go into the town, there are plaques denoting where Captain Kirk will eventually, you know, grow up and do this or that, and even where he will be conceived, apparently. This is a joke from a local bar owner.
Wow. All right. That's pretty good. All right, Mango, what's your next one?
So I wanted to talk about this Abe Lincoln statue, and obviously there are Abe Lincoln statues all over, but this one's special because it's called Abe Lincoln Talks to Perry Como.
That's the name of the statue?
Well, actually, it's not the statue's real name. The real name is The Return Visit, and the statue is located outside the place where Lincoln spent the night putting his finishing touches on the Gettysburg Address. But the whole idea behind the statue is to show a cool Lincoln chatting with modern-day tourists. So the dude he's talking to is wearing a white cable knit sweater and a collared shirt and khaki corduroys, you know, the common man. And Lincoln's just talking his ear off. But the dude looks like a young version of that singer Perry Como. So that's how the statue got nicknamed that.
Nice. That does sound so cool. Yeah. Actually, I have a Lincoln statue fact as well. This is weird. All right. So this one is the Lincoln Watermelon Monument in Lincoln, Illinois. And actually, in 1953, former Congressman Abraham Lincoln, he had not been president yet. He visited a town in Illinois to help christen the town name, which was to be Lincoln, of course. And it was actually the only town to be named after Lincoln while he was still alive. Again, and this happened before he was even president. But while he was visiting there, he poured watermelon juice on the ground to baptize it. I don't really know why. There are other reports that he spit watermelon seeds on the ground to christen it. I've never heard of using
one
watermelon
for his homies.
Exactly, to do this. But anyway, in 1964, the local Kiwanis and Lions and Rotary clubs all united in order to commission this steel sculpture of a watermelon in order to mark this historic event. It's such a strange thing, but I want to check this out someday.
That's pretty great.
All right, Gabe, your last fact of the day. What do you have?
All right, so this was a really weird one, and it's a monument to rats and mice that have been used in DNA research, and it's found over in Russia, and it was made by an artist named Andrei Karkovich in 2013, and the statue, it depicts an anthropomorphic mouse wearing glasses and a little lab coat, and he's knitting with strands of DNA, and it sits near Russia's Institute of Cytology and Genetics, and the institute actually collected $50,000 in donations to fund this statue. And according to them, it commemorates lab animals who have been killed as a part of our ongoing attempts to understand the nature and workings of DNA.
Wow, that's very sweet to remember them in that way. And you said this is in, where did you say it is in Russia?
Yeah, I didn't say on purpose, but Novosibirsk.
Okay, well, that was a good final fact from you, Gabe. Okay, Mango, you got one more?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess we're all on some sort of Russia kick because they have the best statues. But have you guys ever heard of the Enema statue in Zeleznovodsk, Russia?
I have not, no.
Definitely not.
But the monument to Enemas features a giant Enema bulb. It's 5 foot and 800 pounds of bronze, and it's held up by three tiny angels. And so the angels are based off this Botticelli painting. And while the sculptor claims the work was designed with humor, the spa director who commissioned it disagrees. And if art's in the eye of the beholder, there's no irony hiding in all that bronze.
Wow. So we've covered one that was dedicated to the radiator. Mm-hmm. And then the one Gabe did with about the lab mice and rats. And now the enema. What a collection of statues. That's pretty great. All right. Well, my last one happens to be about one statue that is in the world's largest sculpture park, or at least the world's largest sculpture park made by a single artist. There are 212 bronze and granite sculptures there in the Vigeland Sculpture Park in Oslo, Norway. Now, there is one specific one that's worth looking up, and it's called Man Attacked by Genie. And I actually didn't know the plural of genie just has two eyes at the end. Did you know this?
No.
I didn't even know how to pronounce it at first when I was looking at it. But this is why you need to look it up, because it's apparently this guy that's being attacked by these genie. But at the same time, what it really looks like is just this naked man heroically fighting off four toddlers. So you're going to have to check this out. So anyway, well, those are our facts of the day. But before we go, we need to decide who's won today. What do you guys think?
That meteor in the thigh thing got me.
just the word thigh, I think. Okay, I'm going to give it to myself on this.
Yeah, you can take the crown home.
That's right. All right, well, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with a full-length episode tomorrow.